John chapter 8. And let me read very familiar couple of verses here, but I want to start here because I'm preaching a message to you that we started last week about a mark of a disciple. How many of you desire to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? You do know that not everybody that professes to be a Christian is a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a difference in being a disciple and just being somebody that acknowledged that Jesus is Savior, that Jesus has washed my sins, and that Jesus will take me to heaven when I die. There's a difference between being a disciple and just being somebody that calls himself a Christian. And the difference is the level of commitment. Amen. Say commitment. Amen. Is a difference maker of whether I'm truly a disciple. It will mark my life because... No, you don't have... y'all just want to repeat everything I say, which is good. As long as I say the right thing. I'm saying to you that the level of commitment marks us as to whether we are a disciple or not. Why? Because the commitment level is got to be one that you are pursuing Jesus with all of your heart, with all of your mind, and everything that is within you. Now, it's easy to say Jesus is our Savior. But it's another thing to say Jesus is my Lord. Because when you say Jesus is your Lord, then you're saying Jesus is my Master. And if Jesus is my Master, then I obey what the Master tells me to do. You cannot be a disciple, a true disciple, unless you obey your master. Amen. And sadly, most of the Christian society acknowledge him as Savior, but they have no idea of what it means to make him Lord. They acknowledge that he can save them from their sin, take them to heaven when they die. But they are not willing to make the commitment, you can say that word again, that it takes to be a true disciple of the Lord. John chapter 8, let me just show you this in the Word of God today. We're talking about the mark of a disciple. Last week we talked about commitment. I can't, you know, just review everything we said. Some of you are in here today, maybe for the first time. Some of you are new. And sometime we try to say a few things that we said the last time to bring you up to where we're at, but we can't take all the time to bring you up where we're at or we'll never go forward. I don't want to be like the preacher where the congregation was continually complaining he'd preached the same message for 8 weeks in a row. Used the same illustrations. Finally, somebody got brave enough to ask him, said, Pastor, how come you keep preaching to us the same thing, using the same illustrations? He said, I'm going to keep preaching it until you get it. Now, here's the point. The point is, we can hear something and lock into it with our mind, but still not get it. Now, that's one of the problems and one of the reasons people struggle with the tithe. They can lock into something mentally, but it's never become a revelation to them. The Word of God is not something that we mentally hear, ascend to, because we can know what the Word says. We can know the Scripture that says that Word, but not believe it in our hearts. And if we don't believe it in our heart, then we won't act on it as it being truth. Now that's important, what I just said, because in order to be a disciple, You can't just hear the word, but you've got to believe the word. When you believe the word, it will become a revelation to you, and it'll be excitement on the inside of you that you get to obey what the Father has told you through the Word of God, and you get to see it come to pass because you know in your heart that God is not a liar.
Amen.
And He does not change. We read that a while ago. So, He said, now let's read here. You know this passage of Scripture, but let me show it to you. It says, then Jesus said to them, I'm in verse 31, John chapter 8, New King James Version of the Bible. It says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him. Now remember, there's a lot of people that say they believe. All right? Keep these things in mind. If I were you, I would either circle or highlight that word if in your Bible. Because if always substantiates a condition. He said, if you abide or you live in my word, he said, you are my disciples indeed. Now let's just stop there a minute. Who is a disciple according to Jesus? We just read it. The if implies that if we're going to be a disciple, we're going to have to continue in His Word. Okay? And let's read on, because He says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. Here's the Weiss New Testament translation. Listen to this. It says, and you shall know the truth in an experiential way, and the truth shall make you free. If therefore the Son make you free, you shall be free individuals in reality. In reality. See, this is not make-believe. This is not something we come in here on Sunday and listen to somebody expound the Scripture and then go back out there and live the way we want to live. A disciple has to learn that Jesus is his master or her master, and that we cannot live and do what we want to do any longer, because if we are a disciple, our life is hid in Him.
Amen.
We surrender our life. We surrender our plans. We surrender our vision. We surrender what we want to do and go to Him and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Now, this is what I'm talking about. You have to get to a place, because people sit in churches every week and they hear the message of their preacher or their pastor. And that's all they do, is they hear the message, but they did not receive a revelation from it. That's why I tell you, in this church, we put some accountability upon you. We're not here just to see how adequate and how elegant and how hermeneutical, whatever those words are, to bring you a message. These are designed to be life changers. Just one word that you hear and get a revelation of will change your life.
Amen.
And if anybody needs changing, because we already found out he ain't changing.
Amen.
Are you with me? All right. So, I want you to go to Luke chapter 6. Now, he said, if you abide in my word, if. So he's talking about disciples. Say disciples. All right. And that verse is quoted a lot. Hello? You hear that all the time in the world. You hear all the time. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You hear it from ungodly or worldly people. And they have no idea what they're saying, because even Christians don't have an idea of what they're saying. If you're a disciple, you shall know the truth. If you're a disciple, you're going to continue in the Word. And when you continue in the Word, you're going to get revelation of the Word. And that revelation is going to set you free. Why are so many Christians bound? Why are so many Christians not free? Don't tell me you're not free. Now, some of you may be free, but don't tell me everybody's free. It's because they sit in church. They hear a message, but they get no revelation from the message. A disciple. Now listen to this. Because everybody that goes and attends church is not a disciple. Remember? What is a disciple? Is it somebody that can quote verses of Scripture? Is it somebody that never misses church? See, a disciple is someone who stops asking the Lord to help me do what I want to do and goes to the Lord and says, Lord, what do you want me to do? No, don't say amen unless you got that. A true disciple quits going to the Lord and say, Lord, help me. Oh, help me, Lord. If you don't help me, we're going under. A true disciple goes to the Lord and says, Lord, my life is yours.
Amen.
You saved me, Lord.
Yes.
I'd be nothing. I could do nothing. I was nothing. And you may have degrees and you may have bankfuls of money, but you're still nothing without Jesus.
Amen.
A disciple gets a revelation that they can do nothing without Jesus.
Amen.
But with Jesus, they can do all things.
Hallelujah.
So, you come back and your prayer is, Lord, not help me. Lord, help me. Oh, God, help me. But Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? Because God has a destiny.
Amen.
Now, we're going to see that, okay? We're going to see we have to be willing to lay aside our life, our vision, our dreams, if they didn't come from the Lord, our aspirations, whatever it is in life. A disciple is got to be willing to lay it aside.
Amen.
Now do you see why there's not a whole lot of disciples in the body of Christ?
Praise.
Everybody's too busy doing what they want to do. How they want to do it, when they want to do it. A disciple is always in pursuit of the true riches. A disciple is always in pursuit of rewards over riches. You thought last week's message was hard on the flesh. Wait till we get through with this one. All right, you found Luke chapter 6. Being a disciple requires a commitment beyond what most are willing to give. Now, Luke chapter 6, verse 40, let's read this one. Because now we come back to what is the purpose. Okay, Pastor, why should I become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? After all, I've given my heart to the Lord. I believe I'm saved. And when I breathe my last breath on this earth, I believe that I'll go to heaven and I'll be singing glory with all the rest of the saints. God has prepared me a cabin over in glory land. Well, that's well and good. But why should you and I desire to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ and not just a Christian in name and using our salvation as fire insurance? Well, here it is. A disciple, verse 40, is not above his teacher. Now here's the purpose. But everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. What is the purpose of me becoming a disciple? So I can be trained and become like my teacher. Who is my teacher? Jesus. Who am I trying to become like?
Jesus.
Who are you trying to become like?
Jesus.
Because I know some of you are sitting there saying, well, yeah, that's talking to preachers. No, he didn't say a preacher. He said a disciple. Now, I hope preachers are disciples. But I've seen some preachers that are not disciples either. Just like there's some sitting in the pews. Some are disciples and some are just sitters and squatters. All right? Amplified Bible says, a pupil is not superior to his teacher, but everyone, when he is completely trained, now listen to this, readjusted, restored, set to rights, and perfected, will be like his teacher. Here's the Weymouth translation. I like this one too. It says, there is no disciple who is superior to his teacher, but everyone whose instruction is complete will be like his teacher. So, the reason that we should desire to become like Jesus is because the Word of God tells us that we are not just called to believe on Jesus. We are not called just to believe on the name of Jesus, but we are called to be like Jesus. That ought to be the aspiration of everyone sitting in here who they know that Jesus Christ has saved them from their sin. Amen. Now what are we going to do? What are we going to do? The Bible says that we should desire to be like Jesus. Yes. To be like Jesus. We sing that song. To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. All I ask is to be like Him. Do you know that's unscriptural? To ask Jesus to be like Him. I mean, see, people, I had some lady, she said, Pastor, you said something from the Scripture, but the song says it differently, and I believe the song. Now, how many know you can be very sincere? And she was sincere, but you can be sincerely wrong. You know, people get, that's why it's so important that we look and we examine the words and the songs that we sing, because we are confessing something that is going to produce some kind of faith in our life. Now, the whole purpose of us being a disciple is that we can become like Jesus. And how many could sit up here and raise your hand? I'm not going to let you do that yet. And say that you are completely, totally, 100% like Jesus this morning. I said, How many of you would say, I have a ways to go? Now, but we are, I better show you the Scripture. We are, because y'all sitting there going, we are predestined to be like Jesus. Where does it say that? In the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8. Quickly. Y'all got to learn fast, because I got to speak in a hurry. Look at this. Romans 8:29, it says, for whom he did foreknow, he also predestined to be conformed to the image, of his son. What does image mean? It means a likeness. It means a likeness of what you're looking at. To be conformed or changed into the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, don't let that go by. You have been destined by God not to be a Christian in name only, but to be an individual that desires and understands that God has saved you so you can be changed into the image of Jesus. So that when somebody sees you, they see Jesus. How many have arrived yet? Jesus said, and this is a revelation, He was not ashamed to call us His brethren. It says, the firstborn among what? Of many brethren. So that tells me that I am part of the family. I'm part of His family. Not only is He my Lord and my Savior, but He's my brother.
Amen.
And if He's my brother, we have something in common. We have a father. And if we have a father and we're brothers, then we're in the same family.
Amen.
In other words, we have been predestined to be transformed into the very image and likeness of Jesus. The reason that we become a disciple is so that we can be transformed into what Jesus is and what He looks like even. So what does He look like? He's supposed to look like you. Now, understand this part. Because God has made you and I in the God class. Why did in Psalms 8, don't go there, but He talked about who is man that you are so mindful of him? That you created him a little lower than Elohim. You created him a little lower than God. God, in other words, the angels took notice that God took special attention to His creation, man. Because man was made in the image and likeness of God. Listen, you are in the God class. I've heard preachers preach funerals and say, well, you know, so-and-so was God must have needed another angel. What are you talking about, God needs another angel? You think when you die you're going to get demoted? The angels are jealous of us. The angels, listen, they are ministering spirits to those that are heirs of salvation. The angels are powerful, I don't deny that. And the angels have a specific work to do. But you are created in the very image and the likeness of God. You're saying, are we God? We're part of the family of God. We're God class. We're built in the class of God, not angels. Angels are not part of the family of God. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Well, Jesus had that. You go read in John chapter 9, John chapter 10. Jesus was laying hands. He was casting out devils. He was healing the sick, you know, restoring sight to the blind. And here's the religious bunch, the religious bunch. Evidently, they must have kept rocks in their pocket. Because every time Jesus would do something and say something, they would take a rock out of their pocket and get ready to stone him. So one day he said, why do you stone me for the good works that I do that come from my Father? Or which works do you stone me for that I have done? Which of these healings, which of these miracles do you stone me for, religious bunch? He said, they said, well, we don't stone you for doing the good works. We stone you because you are a man and you are blaspheming God by saying you're the Son of God. And Jesus, you know what Jesus' answer was? This is cool. He said, well, in your law, have you not read, ye are gods? They didn't even hear it. In their own law, it said, you are gods. And they just kept on trucking. See, that's the way people are in church. You tell them something, they don't hear it. You tell them something, how important it is to tithe, they don't hear it. You tell them how important it is to become not just a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. And to lay your life down so that you might find life in Jesus. They didn't hear that. See, religious people don't hear the truth. They don't want to hear anything that cramps their lifestyle.
Amen.
They don't want to hear anything that will cause them to have to change their agenda. Are you with me?
Amen.
It's amazing how people hear what they want to hear. And Jesus said, well, your traditions have made the Word of God of no effect. In other words, you've made the Word of God null in your life because you don't believe it anyway. All you've done is just, you know, heard it, but you never got a revelation of it. So because you don't have a revelation from it, you've never been set free to go with it. Well, 1 John chapter 3. Are y'all still here? Okay, this is good, isn't it? All right, I'm helping you. The Lord will be merciful to our ignorance for a while. Right? I said, He'll let us remain ignorant for a while. But eventually, we got to grow up. If we're going to operate in the fullness of God, and we understand what our purpose is, our purpose is to grow up and be like Jesus. Now, how do I be like Jesus? If a disciple is to be like Jesus, how do I be like Jesus? Well, let me just tell you, it's not by asking Him to be like Jesus. It's not by praying to be like Jesus. All right? In order to be like Jesus, you've got to see Jesus and see what He looks like. If you're a woman that sews and you're making a dress, you look at a pattern. And you make that dress, even from scratch, but you make it from a pattern. You make it from an image. If you're going to be like Jesus. Now let's read this, because I got your attention now, I think. Verse 1 and 2. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called what? The sons or the children of God. So we're in the God class. God calls us sons, daughters. We're part of the family of God. It says, therefore, the world does not know us. Why does the world not know us? Because they don't know God. How could they celebrate Jesus in the way we celebrate Jesus when they don't know Jesus? Is it any wonder why they put up anti-Christ slogans? Anti-Jesus, remarks. They don't know God. And if they don't know God, they don't know you either. That's why your relatives think you're strange.
Amen.
They don't know God. And if they don't know God, He tells you, they're not going to know you either. Not if you're a disciple.
Amen.
Now, if you're a pretender and you're a compromiser, oh, they're going to know you real well. They're going to know you're a hypocrite. It says, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, look at it, we shall be like Him. Say it. Say, I shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. We shall see Him as He is. Now, is this talking about when we get to heaven? Is it talking about some future day? Well, go back to John chapter 12. I better lay all this out for you because sometimes y'all accuse me of not... If you're going to be a disciple and become like Him... First of all, there is a commitment required. A lot of people are not willing to get past first base. Shake your head, act spiritual. But in order for you to become like Him, you must be willing to see Him. The actual process to become like Him is that you have to see Him. Now let's read this. John chapter 12, verse 20. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Now there were certain Greeks You could say Gentiles or whatever. Among those who came up to worship at the feast. And then they came, verse 21, to Philip, who was at Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Now let me just stop here and pause a minute. Whenever a person gets illuminated, gets turned on, they have a holy desire imparted to them by God Almighty to want more of God. If you ever get in the presence of God, if you ever get into the place where you sense the presence of God, God's divine hand has touched you, it produces in you a hunger and a thirst that nothing else can satisfy. And there's always a desire in you to get back at least to that place. Amen. Now we're talking about somebody that's ever been touched by God, that's ever got into some kind of worship or some atmosphere where the presence of God was manifest. If you've ever experienced that, there's always a desire to want more of that. Amen. Are y'all here?
Yes.
Okay. He said to see Jesus. Now I could get into a lot on there because Moses kind of, you know, he kind of hung around God for a while. Remember that? And what did Moses cry out to God? He got on the side of that mountain, and he began to call out to the Lord, "God, show me your glory. Show me your glory, Lord." It's when you get into a place where God starts revealing Himself to you, there's a desire that comes on the inside that you want more and more of God.
Amen.
Something is not right if it just becomes a religious desire. Take up a little time if it's convenient or what. But when God has touched you and when you have felt the hand of God on your life, you are never satisfied. There is no material possession. There is no drug. There is nothing of this world that can fill and take the void of that emptiness in a human being's life but God Almighty. That's how we know that there's a hunger and a thirst. We come with an expectation, and every time we don't reach that, we say, we know it's there. We know it's better. We know it's there. Are you with me?
Amen.
Oh, I hope you get this, because there is, the question is, you see, here's Moses on the side of this mountain saying, "God, show me your glory." God finally spoke to him and said, "Moses, I cannot show you all of my glory because you can't take it. You would die." Now, you know why, and that's a whole other teaching, because we're not going to be able to stand in the fullness of the glory of God in this flesh earth suit.
Amen.
Our flesh would melt. We would disintegrate.
Amen.
Just like the priest had to take the censer in and make a cloud of incense smoke, so it would kind of filter or camouflage the glory or the Shekinah of God, because his earthly suit, as pure as he could purify himself, could not still take the fullness of the glory of God.
Wow.
Moses saying, "God, let me see." God said, "Okay, I'm going to hide you in that, remember that rock there?" And he said, "I'm going to make my presence pass by you, but not my front, just the train of my temple." And you know, just that, oh man, just that. He came back off beside of that mountain and looked like he'd been set on fire by, oh man, he just glowed and glimmered because of the presence of God radiated his being. He got a Holy Ghost suntan.
Yes. Yes.
So, today the question is, how can we see Jesus? How were the disciples trained to see Jesus? Now it is true, we're not going to see Jesus with the raw eye. The disciples spent 3.5 years with him, day and night, night and day. Eating, drinking, sleeping, ministering, walking. They did not let Jesus out of their sight. And if he ever did slip off to minister to them, oh, where's he at? We got to find him. Where's the master? I mean, he's like today. We can miss church and say, oh, well, we'll catch up. You have no idea of the pursuit and the commitment that it takes to become a disciple. I'm talking about disciples. The reason, how do we see Jesus today? The Bible tells us that Jesus is the very express image. Let me read out. Don't turn there. We don't have time. In the book of Hebrews, it tells you that Jesus is the express, or being the brightness of His glory. Hebrews 1:3. Now listen to this. And the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power. And when He had Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty up on high. When you have seen Jesus, you have seen the glory of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Just turn there right quick. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I know y'all are listening real good now, aren't you? I said, when you see Jesus today, it's because you have seen the glory of the Lord. Verse 17, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. In other words, that kind of goes in hand with, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Liberty. You there? But we all with unveiled face, beholding as a mirror the what? The glory of the Lord. Who is the glory of the Lord? So if we see Jesus, we see the glory of the Lord. According to the Word of God, the glory of the Lord is the express image of His person. Now what happens when we see the glory of the Lord? We get changed by it. Come on, somebody. We get changed by it. What does it say? Read the rest of the verse. Are being transformed. Transformed means to be changed. You went in 60 cycle, 120, and came out three phase, 480.
Amen.
The electricians will get that. Transform. Say transform. You became changed. Look what it says. Being transformed into what? The same image. The same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit. Now, as you sit here this morning, this is what I want to ask. As you sit here this morning, how much do you look like Jesus? 90%? 70%? How about 50%? Well, how about 10%? You've got to be some percentage if you're saved. So what percentage would you say? I know what I'd say. I'd say not enough. Right? I mean, think about it. I don't know what percentage you are, but it's not enough. You know why it's not enough? Because you need to change more.
Amen.
You need to change a lot.
Yes.
People say, well, Pastor, you ought to saw me before. You ought to saw me a couple of years. Well, I don't doubt you hadn't changed some. Maybe you went to 0.00001.1%. And now you're 0.00001.2. But the point is, we are destined to change. And the only way we're going to change is by seeing Jesus. And to see Jesus, we got to see His glory. Now, oh me, got to see His glory in order to change. How many of you are willing to change?
Amen.
Don't get mad. You're going to have to change. Because
yes.
When you see Him, you're going to look like Him.
Amen.
Now the question today is, how far do you have to go? Somebody said, long ways? Yeah, we got a long way. Oh, Lord, Lord, come quickly. No, you better, Lord, get that construction sign hung out there quick. You follow what I'm saying? See, Jesus, He was talking to disciples one day, and He was talking to them about the Father. He gave them a revelation of their Heavenly Father. And He said, show us the Father. Show us the Father, Jesus. And Jesus said, have I been with you this long? And you don't know the Father? He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. See, some of y'all are going to be super shocked when you meet Jesus for the first time and you go, ugh. He really does look like me. Well, that's what the Bible says. I said, that's what it says. But in order, and I got to stop here, but listen to me. In order for you, let's just go to John 20, we'll have to stop. In order, back over there, John 12, then John 14 rather. Look, He says this, because how are we going to change? Come on. How are we going to change? We've got to change by seeing Him. Now, how are we going to see Him? We have to see Him in His Word. In everything, now listen to me before you check out. In everything we see in this Bible, doesn't it point us to Jesus?
Yes.
Isn't this all about Jesus?
Yes.
All about Jesus. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all about Jesus. The fourth man in the fiery furnace is about Jesus.
Amen.
The man that shut the lion's mouth is Jesus. Are you with me? It's all about Jesus. When they saw, and you read John and Mark and Luke and all the Gospels, Matthew, what do you read about? You read about Jesus. You hear about Jesus. You see Jesus. You see what Jesus did. When you read the epistles, and you read about Paul, when you read about Peter, you see Jesus in Paul. You see Jesus in Peter. You see Jesus in John. You see Jesus everywhere you look in the Bible. It's all about Jesus. We don't have a Bible without Jesus. We don't have a church without Jesus. We don't have a song without Jesus. We don't have a worship without Jesus. We don't have a salvation without Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Every time we get in this thing and we see the Word by revelation. You're not going to see it with your natural eye. You have to see it with the heart. You have to see it with the Spirit. Amen. Jesus said, verse 15, said it three times in one little passage of Scripture. He said, if you love me, are you there?
Yes.
Hurry, because we got to stop. John chapter 14, verse 15, he said, if you love me, what? Now, that doesn't mean you keep a big family Bible on your coffee table. You obey. You hear. You receive. You believe. You act. You reverence. You do. He said, and I will pray the Father and He will give you another helper. We have Holy Ghost power. We have the Spirit of Jesus on the inside of us. And if there's anybody that's ever seen Jesus, it is the Holy Ghost. If there's anybody that knows anything at all about Jesus, it's the Holy Ghost. We see in part, we know in part, and we don't know everything, but God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus know everything about everything because it's all about Him. Jesus is our wisdom. He said, the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. That's why they make such dummies out of themselves. Good thing I'm not in the world. I've said something else. Because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him. Say, I know Him. For He dwells in you. And He will be in you. He said, I won't leave you orphans. I'll come to you. And in a little while longer, and the world will see me no more. Now he's talking about there when he walked on the shores of Galilee. He went to the cross. He ascended and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he has changed. Listen, and not let me say change, I don't want to use the word change. He has now become our high priest. Okay? That's his ministry today. It says, now look. A little while longer, verse 19. Look at the Word. Look at the Word. Look at the Word. Because when you look at the Word, you see Jesus. That's why we say, get your Bible. Look in your Bible. See this Word until it gets on the inside of you. When it gets on the inside of you, it becomes revelation to you. When it comes revelation to you, you'll want to act on it. You'll want to do it. It'll put a hunger in you. It'll put a drive in you. It'll put a force in you that wants to go all the way with God. Bless the Lord. He said, the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Say, I will see Him. Because I live and you live also. How many of you have got a revelation that Jesus is alive? He's not in the tomb. He's not a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes in a manger. As that day you'll know that I'm in my Father and you in me, and I in you, and he who has my commandments and keeps them. Listen, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself. Oh, up that cheek. And I will what? By what? By loving him. How do I love him? He told you three times. He's going to tell you three times. He told you three times, if you love me, keep my word. If you love me, keep my word. If you keep my word will be in you. And you'll be in my word. And my Father will be in you. And you'll be in my Father. And we'll be one. And I will manifest. I will show my... You will see me! And every time I see Him, I'm changed from one glory to another glory. I'm changed. He says, Judas, not Iscariot, because there's two types of Judases, said to him, Lord, how is this that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? See, the world can't see him. What do you expect? You think CNN or Fox News is going to show him Jesus? And he answered and said to him, now here's the third time If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. Now, how many know if somebody's living in your home, you're going to see them sooner or later? I mean, our dog lives in our home, and I see him every day. If Jesus is living in your house, you can't help but stumble into him every once in a while. How are you going to see Jesus? By keeping his word. The Holy Spirit is saying the mark of a disciple, yeah, it's commitment. It's being willing to lay your life aside. But it's also a progression. A disciple sees Jesus. Now you say, I want to change.
Yes.
How many of you want to change? Amen. How many want to up your percentage?
Amen. Yes.
Well, how much are you willing to be corrected? How much are you willing to be instructed? How long are you willing to sit past 12 o'clock on Sunday?
Amen.
Come on, stand up with me.